So, there are two basic categories of healing, healing by faith and healing by gifts. Now, here's the major difference. I'm going to give you a lot of data. I only want you to leave here remembering one thing that your heart speaks to you about. Healing by faith is for everybody. Gifts of healing will not work for everybody. Gifts of healing are given by the Spirit wills, as God wills. He decides who gives the gift. If you invite me to your birthday party or to your open house, would you rather have a birthday party or open house? Neither one. That's you and me both. You don't know if I'm coming with a gift or if I'm coming at all. There's no way to know that. And if you know me, I'm going to send my gift. I'm probably not coming. I'm not much of a social butterfly. When God sends a gift, He decides where to send it, who needs it. The sovereignty of God is twofold. When people say God is in control, it bothers me because I know they may not understand. The God who is in control said, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what you can do. And you have to have both sides of that coin. Like the coin that says, be still and know that I am God, says shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. We're real good at shouting unto the Lord. We're not very good at being still, but you have to have both to complete the package deal. Well, in the gifts, there are nine what we call gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. And technically, they're not all gifts. In a general sense, they're all gifts because they all come from God. They're all given by God. And God's deciding where to send them, who to send them to, what to do. And they're in three categories. If you see in verse 1, it says concerning spiritual gifts. But the word gifts is italicized, which means the translators added that for clarity. But in this case, it isn't a lot of clarity. Now, if you look down at verse, verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The manifestation, these are all manifestations of the Spirit. This is the way the Spirit reveals the will of God. Now, if you go to Hebrews 2, you will find, don't lose this page, that same information, God bearing witness with signs and wonders, divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. Gifts are according to the will of God. They're sent by God. They're orchestrated by God. And so we have nine gifts here. Just like we have nine fruit of the Spirit, we have nine gifts. Now, they're listed as administrations, operations, and gifts. Three categories. Some are gifts. Some are operations. In other words, when something operates, you plug it in. God is operating. Discerning of spirits is operated. It's either on or off, and God's turned it on or off, and you can't turn it on or off. These are all the purveyor of God. This is what God does, what God sends. And then there's administration. Well, you know, if you needed some information or knowledge, you'd go to the desk, and you'd say, I'm Becky Cumby. Can you tell me, you know, where room 101 is? And so a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, obviously would be administrated. It's information that God has that He chooses to give to somebody. And so we have three categories. Now, gifts of healings is always in the plural. It's not always in the plural in the King James, but it's always in the plural in the original Greek. It's not a gift of healing. It's not the gift of healing. It's gifts of healings. Similar as one man said, prescriptions for diseases. You know, there are many diseases and many prescriptions, and some prescriptions are for some diseases and some are for other. So these are gifts of healings. These are gifts for certain diseases, gifts of healings. And God is the one. It's according to His will. And in verse 11, all this worketh the one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Now, if I'm sitting around waiting on God to do something, I'm basically waiting on Him to give me a gift, and He might not. Because He designs us who know Him, who have eternal life, to walk by faith. Now, there are three avenues of faith. We have faith in the Word, faith in the anointing, faith in prayer. Of course, faith in the anointing could be faith in the touch. It would also include anointing with oil. Faith is what you do. Gifts is what God does. Now, He's provided His Word so that we can school ourselves and our faith can increase. It says the just shall walk by faith. It doesn't say the just shall walk by the gifts. See, we've tried that. The just shall walk by faith. That means I know the promise of God. I know what God did. I know what God said. That's what I believe. That's what I'm depending on. That's what I'm confessing. Faith is what you hear and believe and say and do. Faith without works is dead, according to James. In other words, faith without works is inoperative. Faith has to be expressed. Faith has a voice. And once you have that voice, sometimes there are other things you can do to accent your faith. Now, we were at a meeting. We were in the risers way up top, you know. And the wheelchair were all on the bottom floor. We could see all the wheelchairs. And the man that was ministering came off the platform, and he walked back and forth in front of the wheelchairs. And every time he came to this one lady, he stopped and stared at her. He didn't say anything. He just stared. And he'd come. He did that a number of times. And finally, he said, "Are you going to get up or not?" See, he senses her faith. He wants her to take action based on her faith. Now, there was a group of parishioners from a church that went to pray for a lady that had been in a wheelchair. And they prayed so long, God honored their prayer, and he lifted her up out of that wheelchair about this far. And the action she took was to reach down and grab the wheelchair and sit back down. Well, the wrong faith caused her to lose the miracle, the healing that God was going to do for her. Faith requires hearing. Now, anything you hear over and over again, you're going to, I could tell you about my grandmother's pound cake recipe, and if I told you over and over and over again, you'd eventually think, well, I need that. I need to try that, or bake me one. Don't even ask. I'm not doing it. But in the old timers, my grandmother was an old Georgia cook, and she was born at the turn of the century, and they always used a box of confectioner's sugar. They didn't use granulated sugar. Did you know that? Did anybody know that? Nobody learned how to cook in 1905. They always used confectioner sugar, and so what happened was it tasted a little different, and the top was crunchy. It was quite good. It didn't have the smooth top of the regular pound cake, the sour cream pound cake, or the chocolate pound cake, or the strawberry pound cake. I collect. I love pound cakes. So what I have now is just a box of recipes. We're not cooking them or eating them. When you talk about something, talk about it, and talk about it, and talk about it, next thing you know, you say, okay, I'm in. I talked right into it. See, and that's what hearing does. The more you hear the Word of God, the more you meditate day and night, which is in Psalms 1, that doesn't mean you don't get any sleep. It means the Word of God guides your every footsteps. It's constantly on your mind. And when you wake up in the middle of the night, you rehearse the Word that you know. Like I always go over the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm. Sometimes I go over the outline that I'm working on for the next day or two. And I have an MP3 player that has scripture reading on it and songs on it. And sometimes I use that and sermons so that I'm not just laying there looking at the ceiling. So that I'm taking that time to fill my heart with the Word of the living God, to meditate. And the more you meditate, the more your faith increases. Now, faith is progressive. It grows. It says we grow from faith to faith. That means from beginning to end. You grow from faith to faith. And so the more I meditate, the more I learn, the more I grow. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, and something abides in you, it's in you, it's resident in you, it's with you all the time. And if my word abides in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. It might be done. It could be done. I hope it be done. Give it a shot. You never know, it might work. And a prayer like that is not a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of doubt. And it won't help you. So faith is always very, very, it's set like concrete. It reads, it knows exactly what God said. Now we'll come back to gifts at one time, probably not today. But look at Matthew 8. Let's start with faith. Because faith works for everybody. So how do you know that? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Whosoever. Well, the plan of salvation provided freedom from disease, remission of sins, putting away sin, canceling sin. It provided eternal life. It provided peace, which is total well-being. It's the same as in 3 John, "I wish above all things that you prosper." That word prosper means have a successful journey in life. And that's that same word that is used, peace. And you can have peace if you're in the Word, or if you believe it. If you believe it, you say it. And if you say it, you act on it. Now, I've been around a long time. You know that. You can look at my face and tell that. And we were at a meeting. That's why I know all these stories. I was there. And he said, everybody that has any problem from their hips down, hips, knees, feet. And there were 10 people that came. And he laid hands on them. First one, he said, run! And down the line, this fella couldn't even walk. He barely got into the line. He's got, and he struggled all the way around. You know, he kind of slid to the back and slid around the front. And it was really sad. And he said, let me help you. And he grabbed him by the arm and he pulled him around. And by the time he got to the back side, he was running. He failed to act. He needed help acting. You have to act on your faith. You have to say it and act on it. Faith has to grow. Now, Suzanne brought me some tomatoes the other day. And she grew them, sort of. And what happened was they rotted in the refrigerator. And she threw them out in the backyard in the flower bed. And next thing you know, they came up and they bloomed and they had tomatoes. Well, that wasn't deliberately, intentionally, or on purpose. That was just luck of the draw, so to speak. But they're very good, you know. Throw out your next batch. It's quite nice. What I'm doing is making up my mind to be a word person, because faith comes by hearing. And it comes not by hearing about the pound cake or hearing about your struggle, hearing about your distress. It comes by hearing what God has promised you. And over again, you go what God has promised you and you say, that works for me. That's working in me. That is mine today. Now in Matthew 8, here is the centurion from Capernaum, who said his servant was homesick, grievously tormented. That's verse 6. Now, if you read this in Luke's account, it doesn't read the same. Don't let that bother you. You know, if we all saw a car accident, I might tell it one way and you might tell it another way, and I might see something you didn't see and you might see something that I didn't see. And so if we're testifying to the police, he might think he's getting two stories, but he's getting two angles. You understand that? The centurion did not go himself. He sent the elders. That's in Luke. He sent the elders to go and tell Jesus that his servant was very ill and grievously tormented. And then verse 8, Jesus will all come and heal him. He's going to come, see, and he's going to lay hands on him. He's going to anoint him. He's going to let the anointing is the power of God that's transmitted to you through the laying on of hands and anointing of the oil. The power of God. And it can drop out of the sky on you, but usually it's transmitted by laying on of hands. And he sent, and he said, I'm not worthy, verse 8, that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He didn't need laying on of hands. He didn't need anointing with oil. All he wanted was just say so. If you just say so. See, and that's the highest realm of faith. The highest realm of healing is just take God's word and say so. Just say it. You have to believe it when you say it. So what you do, you say it till you do believe it. You say it, and every time you say it, it's imparted to your spirit. It goes down to the spirit. And after a while, the spirit gets so full, it begins to cough up that word. It begins to say it back. And when it goes in and then it comes out, then it begins to work in your body. So you have to cooperate with the word and how the word works. Now, he said, speak the word only. In other words, you don't need to come lay hands on him. Just say he's healed. You can understand that may be a little more difficult than laying on of hands, because laying on of hands, somebody's agreeing with you and they're transmitting the power of God into you. Now, the laying of hands does not always transmit the power of God. It says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In other words, that's the command of the scripture. Power or no power, transmission or no transmission, I can lay hands on you. I worry about people who have to feel something in order to minister. Dr. Kenneth Hagin, as you know, ministered by the transmission of power almost extensively. And one day the power lifted because it's not always in flow. And he said to the next person who they had brought, she didn't walk, and her pastor had brought her from a distance, her pastor and his wife. And he said to her, the anointing has lifted. There's no transmission of power. So what he did, he sat down and read her the word, and he read it and read it, and then he gave her the Bible, and she read it and read it, and finally she said, oh, it says I'm healed, and she got up and walked. Wow. Amen. See, the word of God is the key, And your digestion of the Word of God is the key. You know, if you have it in your refrigerator or you set your table, but you don't digest it, you don't eat it. Or if you eat it and it doesn't digest, it's not helping you. Now, I told you about the gentleman kept opening his refrigerator door. And his wife finally said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, every time I open my door, I'm lowering my standard." In other words, he's looking for chocolate cake and all he could find was cottage cheese. That's my synopsis of the situation. But every word of God gives you strength. Every word of God gives you power. Every word of God, wherever the Lord leads you to digest. Now, when I get real desperate, I take up my healing scripture book and it's divided into categories and I flip to the page that says healing scriptures and I read all those and I read them over and over again. And what I do, I write on everything. So after a while, I have to order a new book because you can't see what's in the old book. Well, that helps me. And in the middle of the night, I plug in Tom Davis or John Hagee or somebody that quotes scriptures. John Osteen's wife has scripture quotes out there. There's a lot of people out there that are just going to read you the scripture. Because I'm making a deposit to draw from. If you don't deposit in your checking account, you can't draw anything out. You notice that, right? We were at Walmart and Wayne dropped his debit card. And we didn't know it till we went over to buy some groceries, and I had my debit card. Of course, we have separate cards. That's the way most companies do it. And so we did get to pay our bill, but we were back to Walmart and we couldn't find it. And he went in, talked to the people, and they remembered him, but they couldn't find his card. So going back to the car, I didn't get out of the car. Going back to the car, he found it laying on the ground. And the reason it was still laying there, because it's in an envelope. And if you just pass by, you're not going to see that that's a debit card. It just looks like a weird envelope. And it was in an envelope. See, and you've got to take the word out of the envelope and read it and look at it, digest it, put the right numbers in it so that it makes a deposit in your heart, in your spirit, so that you can live by faith. Now, Jesus said in verse 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go your way, and as thou hast believed, be it done." Whatever you believed. Said, "I believe in the anointing of oil. I believe in laying on of hands. I believe in speaking the word." Whatever works for you, whatever your heart dictates to you, that's what you do. And all he did, Jesus said, "As you have believed," whatever you believe is done. He was not near the sick man. He didn't lay hands on him, although that's scriptural. He didn't anoint him at all, but that is scriptural. He didn't pray for him, but that is scriptural. See, what suits your heart? What does your heart cry out for? If you come and say, "Will you pray for me?" That's what I'm going to do. You say, "Would you lay hands on me?" That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cooperate with your faith. Wherever your faith is, that's what I'm going to do. Now, look at John 4. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Because this is the easy part. John 4. Speak the word only. John 4 is the man who came to Jesus. It's in verse 46. Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee where he had made the water wine. He had been in Capernaum. Now, he made that trip that is almost 17 miles. That's important to you because he's walking. He didn't drive his Mercedes or his Toyota. He could have had, it says he was a ruler, so he might have had a donkey. But when we were in Africa, donkeys are actually taxi cabs. It took me a while to figure out, okay, there goes a man, same man, somebody on the back, and there goes somebody else on the back. I said, "What are they doing?" They said, "Oh, that's a taxi." I went, "Oh, right." He could have had a donkey, but it's not likely. He was walking 17 miles. He walked 17 miles. See, he put out some effort to get to the word, to get to the healing. Amen. He put some effort into it. Have you ever had a meal you didn't put much effort into? You remember eating that? We won't even talk about it. Okay. Jesus came to Cana where he made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum, that's 17 miles. When he heard that Jesus come out of Judea into Galilee, he went and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. He was at the point of death. So this kid is fixing to die. Now in verse 40, Jesus gave him a little delay there in verse 48. And then he said, "Sir, come down ere my child die." Part of the key is that you don't give up, you don't quit, you don't surrender. He that giveth up loses. Okay, that's not a scripture, that's me. Jesus said, go your way, your son lives. Now, there's two things here. First of all, he told him what he needed to do. He said, your son lives. He was not near the boy. He didn't lay hands on him. He didn't anoint him with oil. He didn't pray for him. The highest realm of faith is just say so. And say so and say so until instead of going in your spirit, it floods out of your spirit. He said, go your way. And now the action he's to take is dictated here. What's the action? Go home. Now on his way home, he meets his, I don't know if they were servants or friends, but of servants it says. And he said, your son is well. He said, when did that happen? Now watch the time span. He said, yesterday at the seventh hour. He'd been walking. He's the second day walking to get home. Well, how fast can you walk 16 miles? It might take more than 2 days, I'm thinking. He said, that was the very hour. That was the very hour Jesus said, go home, your son lives. The minute Jesus said it, and this man received it, and he headed home, taking action based upon the instructions of the Lord. You see that? His son was healed. His son was healed. Now look at John 9. Flip over to John 9.
John 3, John. Said 3 John.
No. St. John 9, chapter 9.
John. Okay, not 3 John.
Verse 6. This is a man that was blind from birth. He had always been blind. And Jesus put clay on his eyes. You remember that man? Put clay on his eyes. And so what he needs to do other than speak, speaking is always in order. What he needs to do, it says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Okay, now this man can't see. So we don't know. Does he have somebody to get him to the pool, or can he get to the pool with his eyes closed? I'm just asking. But what has he got to do to complete his faith? Jesus told him what would complete his faith, what he needed to do. You have to say and to do. You have to hear and make a deposit, draw from that deposit in faith, believing what you've said, and then you have to speak. And in sometimes there's, like when he prayed for the 10 people that had a hip, knee, and feet problem, he told them to run. Now that was the instruction of the Spirit of the Lord that completed their faith. Well, there is an instruction that's always appropriate, that's always the thing to do. If you don't have any other instruction, it's praise the Lord. When I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, Father, I'm healed. Thank you, I'm healed. My ears do hear, my eyes do see, my heart does beat normally. My veins and my arteries are clear of debris, and my knee and my joint work perfectly. Disease has departed from this flesh because the blood of the Lamb was shed for me. And I establish the parameter of my day. Unless, of course, I was up half the night listening to the MP3. then I just assume the parameters have been well established. You may sleep all night. Congratulations. I'm proud of you. So he has to go to the pool in order to establish. Now look at Romans 10, the parameter. So this is so hard. Oh, no, it's not hard. He didn't ask you to run the 4-minute mile. He didn't ask you to walk 2 miles every day. He said, say it and say it and say it. You can sit in your chair and say it. This is how to get in your life the complete plan of salvation, which, remember, he's wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. That spirit, soul, and body, the provision was made for you. Spirit, that's the freedom from sin, remission, eternal life, the chastisement of peace. All that was needed to bring peace for you was done by him. That's the soul. And then, of course, disease is the body. So you're covered. You see that, don't you? Now, not everybody believes that, but God does. He was there. He ordered it. We read it. We believe what we read, do we not? Okay. In verse 8, chapter 10. The word is near you. It's where?
Near.
When Wayne was military, and when he was in the military, this lady called and she said, do you know how to bake apple pie? And I said, yes, I do. You know, I'm just 19, but I was the cook. My mother worked, and I fixed the, she'd call me. She was a, one of these switchboard operators, you know, where you plug things in like this, like they do on Andy Griffith. That's what she did from World War II. And so she'd call and tell me, okay, now get the carrots out and clean the carrots with the potato peeler. Do you know that that has to be done? Do you know you cannot eat carrots till you clean them? Does everybody know that? You can say, this is what I learned in healing school. You have to clean your carrots. So I learned to cook over the phone, and I was a cook, so I did know how to make an apple pie. And she said, well, I need, I said, Wayne needs some stripes. He had been promoted or something. And so I took his uniform and his stripes, and she sewed the stripes on, and I made the apple pie. Well, she had this little boy that was maybe three, and they had a big, thick Bible on the bottom shelf, and he'd go over, and he'd almost touch it and say, oh, don't touch. Don't touch. They had taught him to honor the Bible and not touch it, and that is wrong. You don't honor the Bible by having a copy. You honor it because you read it, and you digest it, and you read it again. And you read books that there's some books that help me that I go over and over and over again. I spent part of my week reading about gifts of healing because I haven't taught that in a long, long time. And the reason we don't teach that much is because we need to understand it. We need to understand why it says covet those gifts. In other words, I'm to desire the gifts, but they may not work for me. Why am I to desire them? One week I'm going to tell you. It's a very, very important reason why we need them. Very important. Okay. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Where is the word? It's in your heart. You put it there by meditating, by speaking out loud, and then the heart fills up and you begin to say it. You can say it till you see it. Say it till you know you've made a deposit. The word is nigh thee. You're in your mouth. Where's the word? It's in your mouth and in your heart. A lot of people, they don't have it in their heart yet, much less in their mouth. And I tell you what's in our mouth most of the time. My knee is killing me. I said that the other day myself. And Wayne rebuked me soundly. And he was right and I was wrong. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. You shall be delivered. You shall have peace. You shall be healed. The fullness of the plan of salvation comes when the word is in your heart and in your mouth and you're saying it, and then you're following any other instructions that are given to you by the Spirit of the Lord. And if there's nothing given, always good time to sing a song. We were hunting a song this week. We never did find it. We used to sing it as a girl. Why worry when you could pray? Yeah. Do you know that song?
Yeah.
Trust Jesus. He'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. It's not listed in the music thing on Google. Just rest upon his promise. Why worry, 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 worry? When you can, instead of worrying and still making wrong confessions, still talking about how your heart's beating too fast, or, you know, sometimes you just undermine yourself and you fall in deep distress because your hair's not right. You ever done that? No, David? Well, most people have looked in the mirror. Wayne fusses every now and then about his haircut. He's actually the only one of his, he has two brothers that has a lot of hair to be fussing over. So this is a good thing. This is a good thing. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Now look at James 1. Instead of saying my knee is killing me and my back really hurts, and you reckon this is that old sciatic nerve problem come back again, do you think I have the flu? Because I feel terrible. If you say anything to anybody, it's somebody of strong faith. Who will say, okay, I'm going to pray for you and by Jesus' stripes right now. Whatever's wrong from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, you are definitely healed. You don't tell it to somebody. It says, don't cast your pearls before swine. But there are some people that don't need to know. They're not going to help you. Don't talk about it. And if they say, you know, people will help you, especially family members. Family members are the worst. They say, you look awful. Do you look, you feel all right? And I said, yes, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. He sent his word, heal me, no weapon formed against me prospers. God has made an utter end. This affliction shall not arise a second time. And they'll say, oh, okay. I threw my doctor a curve. You can imagine what I did. I won't even tell you. We believe in medical science. We know their inadequacies. You go with God. He's the great physician. You say, God, you and I are going today. Jesus, you and I are going today to the clinic.
Amen.
Or wherever you go.
Amen.
You be sure you pray before you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that if they suggest something that isn't going to work for you, it's not that it's not the right thing. It's just it's not the right thing for you.
Amen.
Then you'll say, oh, no, that won't work. I can't do that. And they look at you like, y'all either are asleep or you're just totally mesmerized by my. What are y'all doing out there? Okay. James chapter 2. Verse 14, what does it profit? What we want is profit. The profit we want is healing, healing, healing. And we can be healed simply through the Word of God, simply by believing the Word of God. And then it's fine to have anointed with oil, fine to have hands laid on you. We'll talk about that later. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? Can faith save him? In other words, the question is, can faith without works, without action, save you? And the answer to that is no. This is where we've missed some things that belong to us because we didn't have corresponding action. Now look, it gives an example of a brother or sister's destitute of daily food, and one of you say, well, depart in peace and be filled. Now we were downtown, they had all these food thingies. We used to go with Ashley, our granddaughter liked to do that, and so we used to do that with her. And this man came by and he said, can you give me $1? And Wayne said, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to buy a sandwich. He said, okay, come on, let's buy this sandwich. And Wayne bought him a sandwich, and he was so surprised. He was like, why did you do that? Because you're a Christian. And because faith without works is ineffective. There's always something you must do, and it begins with what you must say and your praise and thanksgiving. Now, he looks. This is three verses say the same thing. Verse 17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith requires company. Faith does not like to be alone, and the company it always keeps is your words and your action, depending on the situation. It says, faith without works is dead. It's alone. And then it repeats that in verse 22, seest thou, so you're supposed to see this, you're supposed to know this, you're supposed to understand that. Seest thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect. That word perfect is complete. In other words, it's your faith plus your works that completes the action that you need. Faith works, what does it say? How faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect or complete. Now, one day, I baked a cake, and it was about layer cake. I used to bake a pound cake. It was about half inch high. I couldn't believe that, and I got thinking, and I didn't put the eggs in. Do you know eggs are leavening? They cause things to rise. Well, that's what I missed. And so it didn't come out just right. And so we ate it like pancakes with syrup or something. And faith has to be leavened with your works and with your words. It has to rise to the occasion. You see that, don't you? That doesn't mean you have to 24 hours a day say, by Jesus' stripes I was healed, 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 by Jesus' stripes. That means you spend a lot of time at it, and you spend extra time at it because you're in need. You understand that. And then it's in verse 26, which is absolutely magnificent how this is put. The body without the spirit is dead. You're a spirit being living in a physical body connected. The body and the spirit are connected by the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And it says the body without the spirit. Well, see, they're going to put our bodies in the grave. But my spirit's going to be with the Lord because I know him and he's my Savior. And he's my Lord, and I believe in his death and resurrection. So I'm going to be fully there. Now, Wayne's daddy went to heaven a year and a half before he died, and talked to the Lord. The Lord met him, and he was confused because he wasn't well taught in his church. And he was confused. It reminded me of Paul. He said, I don't know if I was there, or if I had a vision or a dream, or what happened was his spirit ascended out of his body, but he didn't realize that. And his spirit was there, and the spirit is fully and completely you. You're the same in spirit as you are in body. The difference is the body dies and the spirit doesn't. You see that? And he looked down the road and he said, there's my prayer partner. Wayne's dad was a very bold man. Let's use the word bold. And he said to Jesus, he said, I'm going to go talk to my friend and I'll be right back. And Jesus grabbed him and said, no, you can't go down there. His prayer partner of decades looked the same. He was down there talking to some other people that Wayne's dad recognized, but when he got back in his body, he couldn't remember who they were. You look the same in spirit. You are the same in spirit. You're made of different material. You're made of material that doesn't decay. Is this good? The body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You understand dead. If you don't, go stand at the cemetery this afternoon and walk those between some tombstones and pray for the family that lost that person. Because you don't need to pray for that person. Pray for the family. And realize how dead is. Dead is real dead. One day my niece called and she said, Aunt Becky, granddaddy's, it's falling in, it's falling in. So we checked on it and we called and they were going to fix it and it had fallen in. Well, what happened? Daddy was in World War II and the government provides you with a little plaque that gives your rank and your dates of service. It's about this big and they had come in and planted it at the foot of the grave and the grave had kind of slid a little bit, you know. So they came in and fixed it. Well, you can fix everything with the Word. There's a promise of God for you. Faith without works is dead. Now let me, because I have to have glasses to read these days. Removing action from faith is like removing breath from the body. You want to hear that again?
Yes.
Removing action from faith is like removing breath from the body. When you remove breath from the body, you're not here, you're there. And when you remove action from faith, it's not working. So sometimes, you know, God knows everything. I just say, I said it. I believed it. I can find it in my Bible. I know how to quote it. I quoted it in the night. I quoted it in the daytime. I quoted it as we're riding in the car. I listened to it on my MP3. I feel like my heart is full of faith. Is there anything else you want me to do? Well, we had dogs for years. That was a friend of mine's fault. And one died very suddenly, and it just threw me a curve. The others lived 17, 18 years, and that was a wonderful blessing if you like dogs. And I'm over it. I'm totally over it. And so we live off-road in our driveway, and if the moon's not out, it's pitch black. I mean, it is pitch black. You can't see anything. It's 150 yards to the road, and in the dark, it is dark. And so I am distressed, and I'm going to pray in the Spirit because I couldn't think of what to say. When you can't say it, pray it. Pray it, say it, sing it. And I'm going to pray in other tongues about my distress over the dog. And Wayne decided, since it was blackout, now sometimes the moon is shining, it's not too bad, you know, but you couldn't. He's going to walk with me. And I said, I'm going to walk and pray. He said, well, I'll keep you company. He never said anything. He walked by my side. And we walked, and I prayed, and we walked this way, and then we walked across the field, and we walked this way, and walked this way, and walked this way, and walked this way, and walked this way. I'm trying to turn my heart over to the Lord for comfort. You see, and your heart, your spirit has to be turned over to the Lord for you to be healed. You got that? Now look at Mark 5. This is faith in the anointing. But it works the same in the anointing. It's your faith that triggers the power of the anointing. The anointing is the transmission of the power of God. Now, this is the one with issue of blood, been sick 12 years. Now, she by law is not supposed to be out in public. It's against the law. They could stone her if they caught her. But she had such a revelation that if she got to Jesus and touched him, she would be healed, that she took the chance on dying. You see that? That's how important this is. And so, verse 26, she suffered many things of many physicians. I think I know him. Okay, verse 27. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press and touched his garment. She heard of Jesus. So she had knowledge. She had information. She knew about Jesus, and she knew about faith, and she knew about the anointing. See, you can access the Word by faith and live by the Word alone and never have anybody lay hands on you. Never have any anointing. Never have any transmission of power. That wouldn't be any fun, by the way, but it's okay. She heard of Jesus. She came to the press and touched his garment. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole, yes, complete and full. Now, what's the action she's got to take? She's got to find him and touch him. And no doubt she was sitting on her sofa when her neighbor came by and said, have you seen this man in town? Everybody touches him is healed. Somehow she had knowledge. And maybe this is not the first time she snuck out of her house. I don't know, because she's supposed to stay home. They like diseased people to stay home. And I still think that's a very good idea. And if you call us, we will mail you a CD. Stay home. Okay. If I may touch but his garment, so she straightway, I mean immediately, she took action. She's in faith. The fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of the plague. What she felt was the anointing. When she touched Jesus, the anointing flowed out of him into her. How did that happen? The power of God, the anointing. You can be healed by the anointing, but the anointing flows. It moves. It's transitioned. And I'll cover that more next week. But immediately knowing that virtue had gone out, and virtue is the word for power. It's the Greek word dunamis, which is the same word when we get dynamite. It's dynamite power that flowed out of him into her when she touched him. And Jesus knew that immediately. And she felt in her body. Okay, now listen to me. First, she had knowledge. She found out what was happening. And she believed that, and she said it, and then she went out to act on it. And when she heard about it, and believed it, and said it, and acted on it, then she felt it. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, this little lady came, sat by me, and she said, "Would you pray for me?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am. What do you need?" And she mumbled something or other. And I don't have to actually know what you need. And it doesn't always help me to know what you need. But if you want to tell it, that's okay. I'm a good listener. But anyway, I laid hands on her, and I prayed, and she said, "Huh, that sure didn't work." She's looking to feel something.
Right. Yeah.
It isn't a feeling. Feelings are extracurricular.
Yes. That's good.
And so I prayed again. I said, "Okay, let's just do that again." Okay, I'd been there all morning. I'm tired, so I just wanted, "Let's do this and go home, lady." And I gave everything I had to it, and I prayed in English and in other tongues, and I laid hands on her, and she got up and looked at me, and she said, "Well, that certainly doesn't work. All she's looking for is to feel better, is to feel different. And it isn't a feeling." Faith does not include feelings.
Amen.
We walk by faith and not by sight or not by feelings, not by the realm of the physical body. Faith does not include feelings. Feelings are extra. Feelings are wonderful. I like feelings. It's not essential to your recovery.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Because one day down the line, you're going to think, "My knee hasn't bothered me in weeks." And Wayne will say, "I noticed you weren't complaining anymore." I don't have knee problems. That's just my resident example. My brother had knee surgery, and he connects with my sister, and I just call and find out what's happening. And we did all we could to pump up his faith, and he's a good reader and a good student, and he pastored for years, but he was not a Pentecostal pastor, so Pentecost is fairly new to him. And so we school him in, we send him books to read, and he loves to read. He's not a CD person. See, when I connect with you, I have to know, do you want to read this or you just want to hear it? Or do you want to read it while you're hearing it? See, I want to do everything I can to promote faith in you, to connect with where you are. And Jesus is going to instruct you as to what would help you the most if you're listening to him, and you'll follow, but you have to hear and do. Okay. He said, "Who touched my clothes?" And they said, "Well, you know, you're in a multitude here and everybody's touching you, but see, hers was the touch of faith. All those other people was a touch of curiosity. Hers was a touch of faith. Curiosity killed the cat, but it doesn't bring healing." You heard that? Curiosity kills the cat?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if that's true or not.
Satisfaction brought it back.
Our cat lived 17 or 18 years. I told him, you guys don't have a covenant, but I do, and you're walking under my covenant, and you will live long upon the earth because I said so under my covenant. And that happened to all but one. We had four dogs and a cat, not all at the same time, you understand, and a bird and a fish tank. And you do all that for your children, then your children move away, and they don't want a dog, they don't want a cat, they don't want a fish tank. It's just amazing to me what happens. The woman fearing and trembling, that's verse 33, knowing what was done in her. She knew something had happened in her. She sensed something in her. Something had changed in her. And naturally, in her condition, she would immediately know that. And she fell down and told him the truth. Now, this is verse 34 is important. He said, daughter, your faith made you whole. Okay, I thought it was the power that made her whole. The power would not have made her whole had her faith not delivered it. Faith delivered the power. Faith in the Word causes the Word to work and deliver and bring you what you need. It begins with faith. This is what you hear and believe and say and do and act on. And Jesus, he could have said, you know, my power sure worked in you. He didn't say. He said, when the power was your faith. That power was available. It was available to her. But had she not exercised her faith, what did her faith say? If you touch him, that power will move. That's what her faith said. So that was the action she took. Do you get that? It's her faith that made her whole. Jesus didn't say my power. That's so important. He didn't say my power made you whole. It was the power. But the power is not working without faith. And it doesn't matter if you have faith in the Word alone, because the Word is anointed. God anoints men and women, you know. These are the days when generics don't work too good, but God anoints men and women to represent the kingdom and to stand in power. But they don't carry that power 24 hours a day. It comes, and they function in it when it's there. You understand that? So it doesn't matter if it's faith in the Word or faith in the anointing, but it is faith, or faith in prayer. What saves the sick? James 5. The prayer of faith saves. What saves the sick? Prayer, anointing, and the Word. Well, we have old things. We like old things, and we have a toaster. The older toasters, you tell me, you can raise your hand if you've seen one of these. They only toast on one side, and they open left and right. See? The rest of you are dumb. I'm going to bring my toaster. Next week, we bring the toaster. You know why it doesn't work? It doesn't have a plug on it. It doesn't have a plug on it. So you put your bread in, it only toasts, this only heat on the inside. And then you have to flip it out, turn the bread over. Well, that was pretty good for that era of time. It doesn't work today. You know why? It's no plug. What plugs you in? Faith. I want you to go home and plug in. Every day.